Christian Crusaders warmly welcomes each of our listeners today. Our service will be conducted by the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Information on how to order tapes or printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the close of the program. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday and worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Life for most people has its moments of discouragement. The Bible talks about those times of being disheartened, and I'm going to visit with the people about it today in my sermon. We hope you'll stay tuned. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. God in heaven, you realize that life could sometimes be very difficult. And so you said, "Come, and I will give you rest. Cast all of your cares upon me, and I will care for you." God, give us the grace not only to be able to quote those passages, but to apply them to our lives. And in our moments of discouragement, when we are in the midst of despair, help us to understand that you are close by. Give us that grace. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hear the word of God as it is recorded in the fourth chapter of 2 Corinthians, beginning with verse 1. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways, we do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of the unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of God, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ is Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Here ends the reading of God's holy word.
God is believed, unless we can listen.
Don't lose heart. These words come directly from the Bible, and they're words that can be applicable to all of us, for life has its times of discouragement. If we get together with our friends and relatives and share some of these disheartening experiences, it can almost be a real sob session, can't it? For example, the physician says, "My patient died. I can't understand it." The attorney said, "Even though I practice the highest ethics that I possibly can, I am a part of a profession that often is labeled dishonest, and I think that's unfair." The teacher says, "I can't motivate my students." The parents say, "I can't make the child accept responsibility." The pastor says, "I lament the fact that my parishioners reject the teachings of God's holy word." And so the list goes on and on. It's nothing new. St. Paul, who lived so many hundreds of years ago, was saying the very same thing. "There are times when I get very discouraged." And evidently that was true in the congregation at Corinth. And so he turns around and he says, "I don't lose heart." What is it that keeps us going? I wonder if part of it is not the mission in and of itself. There is something that I must accomplish. There is a goal that I must achieve, and therefore I do keep going. During the last few months, we've heard a great deal about that quarterback, Kurt Warner, who plays for the St. Louis Rams. I have a distant acquaintance with Kurt Warner from his university days. Just so happens that the coach of the university in our town at that time was a very, very close friend of mine. Occasionally, I would travel with the team just to be with him, to go into the locker room with him, to walk on the sidelines with him, and if the game were away, we would often fly. I will never forget some of those great experiences with those young men. Kurt Warner, I am told, was among the group. I didn't know Kurt. He was a part of the group. He probably wondered what the old preacher was doing. We had a football banquet at our church for the football team after the season was over, and I don't know, but I would assume that he was a part of the banquet. I bought some groceries in a large supermarket, and Kurt Warner, they tell me, was a person who worked there as a stock clerk. But Kurt Warner had one great desire, and that was that he was going to somehow play professional football. During the years that he was at the university in our town, he didn't have much of a chance to play the first years, for there was another quarterback there, and he was playing right behind him. That quarterback was a great athlete, too, and was accomplishing what had to be done, and so obviously the coach continued to use the man who was 1 year ahead of Warner at the university. But then came the day when that man graduated, and Kurt Warner had his chance. He did a great job. He convinced us all that he was a person with a lot of talent and a great individual himself. Then he got out of college, but then it was on to the pros. That was a very, very hard road for him. And all I know is what I read in the newspapers like the rest of you, but he played overseas and he played for another professional team for a little bit, but didn't get much of a chance. And then somehow or other he got to the Rams in St. Louis. And they began to detect that maybe there was something here that this man could offer to the team. So when their starting quarterback was injured, Kurt got his chance. And here was a person who had been persistent. Certainly we would have to say of that young man, he did not lose heart. What was it that kept him going? It was the very fact that he was convinced he had the ability, and if given the chance, he would become a great quarterback in the National Football League. Well, he did. And so this year, the year 1999-2000, Kurt Warner had his chance. He was voted the most valuable player in the NFL, and they went to the Super Bowl, and if you saw that game at all, you know what happened. He threw that winning pass in just some of the closing moments of that game, and he was voted the most valuable player in the Super Bowl. Here is a person who did not lose heart. And you can use illustration after illustration like this of people who have risen to the top. What I find is that most of these people did not just suddenly bounce to the top unless they inherited the job from their father or their uncle or somebody in a family business. But generally speaking, it means a lot of long hours and tough work in order to get there. And that's what Paul is talking about when he writes to the Corinthians on this particular occasion. For Paul realized that the gospel of Jesus Christ was the only way to live. It was the basis for life. It was the means whereby you had the assurance that your salvation was sure. And so he preached the gospel of Jesus Christ to the people, and obviously the Holy Spirit worked, but not in all cases. And so in the text that I have read for you already today, he goes on to say that many of these people have blinded minds. They don't understand the gospel. The gospel for them has been veiled. And Paul said, How I would love to have these people receive Jesus Christ and inherit the blessings that Jesus Christ alone can give them. But they walk away. They don't want to have anything to do with it. Interesting, isn't it? For the God of this world has permitted that gospel to be veiled. They hear and yet they don't hear. They see and yet they don't see. Isn't that true, not only for Paul, but for you and for me in our ministries? I know that many a pastor has that same feeling. What more can we do to reach that person with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Their lives are apart. Their marriages are hurting. Their children are being hurt. And we have the answer in Jesus Christ, and we turn and say to this person, from the pulpit, from the lectern, face to face, Christ is your answer. And very kindly they say, well, that may be, Pastor, but I don't understand it. It's just as if it's far, far away for them. Well, it is well put here that the God of this age has put a veil over the gospel. Frustrating. What do we do? Do we quit? No, because the mission that God has sent us on to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to this world is so great that that calling in and of itself moves us on. Maybe I speak to some of you today who are having that experience with a member in your family. Maybe it's a son or a daughter. It just seems like the gospel is veiled to them. You begin to ask the question, don't they understand? Can't they see? Can't they see what it's done for me or what it's done in our home? Maybe it's a spouse that you would like to really have a chance with. Maybe it's a parent. Your parents are growing older. They don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. I hear that again and again. Children who are now in their 40s and 50s, but have aged parents will say to me, I don't know what to do. Dad is very ill. He doesn't know Christ. What can we do? I tell him the story of Jesus again and again, but he simply does not understand. He's a good person, but I know that his goodness is not going to win him a place into the kingdom of God. What more? What more? And there is that matter of frustration. You know, we get ahead a little bit, and then we fall back. And shall we quit? No, no. Paul says we don't do that. No, sir. Rather, we move right on. But during the course of the moving on, in order to win a person for Jesus Christ, there are some temptations. Paul writes, we do not use deceptions in trying to win someone to the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, you cannot fool someone into the kingdom of God. You cannot dangle this in front of their faces like you sing in some of the old songs of the past. Just turn it over to me and your bubbles will vanish and your problems will vanish like bubbles. Well, that isn't the way. That's not what the gospel is saying at all. Jesus Christ makes it very clear that if we want to have him as a part of our lives, it means we have to take a good look at our sin. We have to confess our sins. We have to forsake our sins. And we have to come to him as the only one who can take away that sin and restore us into fellowship with God. Well, maybe if I softened it a little bit. Maybe if I said to the person, well, you're not a helpless sinner, but you do need Jesus Christ, and he's going to help you the rest of the way. Maybe that'll help. Paul says, no. We do not use deception in trying to win anyone for the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a temptation in building a congregation to try to ease it a little bit, to say to them, oh, come on and join us. There'll be a mighty crowd down there. You'll meet some wonderful friends. Maybe you'll meet a husband or a wife, whatever it may be. And you'll be much happier if you belong to our crowd. Well, we can build congregational memberships that way, but usually those kind of members aren't around very long. And if their names are still on the books of our church, they seldom come or take any part in seeking to build the kingdom of God. No, it's a hard old message. Repent. Turn from your sin. Leave your wretched ways and come to Christ. And there at the foot of the cross, you'll experience the forgiveness of your sin and you will be restored into fellowship with God. Paul goes on to say, neither do we distort the word. That is, we're going to change that word again just a little bit to make it more palatable. Not long ago, I was listening to a lecture from a theological professor, and he was pointing out that often we do something that I had not heard of before. We edit the word. And a person in the group asked, well, what in the world do you mean by editing the word? Oh, he said, that means that you take out certain parts that are very, very offensive to people. They have no place in what we're trying to say. It may keep them from coming to Christ. Now, Paul said, we don't distort the word. We leave it the way it is. And every time, friend, that you and I may try to distort the word of God, we take away from that word some of its power. Well, what do? You want those people in the kingdom of God. You just keep working, preaching sin and grace, law and gospel, God's righteousness, but God's love. And then you begin to realize who you really are. What has God called us to do? What is the challenge? What is the mission? To convert people? No. I've had to wrestle with that through my years. I thought there was something that I perhaps could do that would bring that person in some way to the Lord Jesus Christ. But I found out I couldn't. All we can do is exactly what St. Paul did in Corinth. And let's just keep right on plugging, teaching the Word of God with all of His truth and purity from Genesis to Revelation. And then you have to leave the rest to Almighty God and the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit who can lift the veil and open the eye and cause that individual to see what God's grace is all about and what it is to meet Jesus Christ and to walk with Him and to know Him as the one who will comfort in the hours of grief and the one who will lead in the hours of frustration. This is our God. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. All we have to do, and that's plenty, I can assure you, but it's to be faithful to the Word of God, and God will use us, and great things will happen. And that is applicable, my friend, as far as you and I are concerned in our ministry to people. You may not minister to a whole congregation. You may not minister to a large segment of your relatives, but maybe there are one or two that whom God has laid upon your heart. And you really are anxious for that person to see the Lord Jesus Christ and to know Him in His grace and His mercy. Do you quit? No. But you say, I've been at this for years and years. I've been married to my spouse for 40-some years. And I'm no farther with him now than I was when we were married. She promised that she would really consider the Christian faith. But she came from a home that was not churched. They knew nothing about the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm about ready to quit and just go it my own way. No, don't. Don't do that, friend. Just keep right on. Remember what Paul says, therefore we will not lose heart. For we do not wrestle with this whole matter ourselves. We have the presence of God Almighty, and He is strong. Here is a word that comes to you this day from Holy Scripture. Very simple. Carry it with you. Four short words. Do not lose heart. Amen.
Search for Thy salvation, be our God.
Lord Jesus, you know where those broken hearts are. You know where there is discouragement because something has happened in the life of one you love dearly. O God in heaven, we pray that those who continue to minister in one way or another to these people who have continually rejected you may hear that word that comes from the scriptures today. Do not lose heart. Help us to understand, God, that we are not powerful enough to turn any life around, but help us to understand that we are instruments in your hand, and as we speak your word, never in any way editing it, never trying to use any gimmicks, but as we speak that word, your spirit is working. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray that the message and the music shared today will bring you closer to your Savior, Jesus Christ. Christian Crusaders is a non-profit, listener-supported radio ministry. Many of our listeners are broadcast sponsors, which means that they give a gift of $100. The average cost of 1/2 hour of radio time is $100. Each broadcast sponsor gift pays for one broadcast on one station for one Sunday. We thank our broadcast sponsors for their generosity, but gifts of all sizes are appreciated and used to share the gospel message. Cassette tapes or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. However, a gift of $2.50 will help defray mailing and production costs. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Our toll-free phone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 266-7589. Christian Crusaders invites you to find out more about our ministry on the Internet. Our website address is christiancrusaders.org. That's Christian Crusaders, all one word, .org. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and radio pastor of Christian Crusaders for the past 38 years.